Good morning, everyone. This is Veronica W. I'm here with Hal K., one of our Cocaine Anonymous founders here in the state of Texas for the original Texas area service. And he'll be giving us this interview. We're excited to be working with him. And now I'll just give you Hal K.
Okay, Veronica, now that you got me up out of my bed. But anyhow, look, Hal K., addict, whatever. 82285 is my sobriety date. Look, this is archiving the, I guess you all want to know how Texas area started, whatever. But let's keep in mind that this is all, in my opinion, ego-driven stuff. So this is on my ego. I'm going to tell you what I know and what I think about how it really went. But CA is not new. No. CA has been here since 1935 because it's AA.
Exactly.
Right? Just remember, Johnny and Henry and all those guys just came out of an AA meeting with a bunch of ego and said we're going to start our own meeting because we weren't welcome in AA meetings in terms of sharing the drugs. Right? So there is no founders of CA, not me, not anybody. In the state of Texas, there's a lot of contributors to Cocaine Anonymous. People don't know who the real contributors are, so I'm going to share with you. The real contributors of Cocaine Anonymous is Dr. Timothy Sharman. It's Dr., what's his name? One of the name CA, forget his name. It'll come to me as we talk. But it was the contributions of Dr. Timothy Sharman who allowed us to meet at HIH, the Oral Hospital, Jason Barron, who owned the name Cocaine Anonymous. He had a clinic called Cocaine Anonymous. The original people who basically got our little section of Cocaine Anonymous in Texas going is Danny Timmons and H. Lee Slavin. H. Lee's another one of our members who's also a former trustee like myself, one of the original trustees. But anyhow, Danny and the PADAP organization also had a lot to do with it, right? St. Francis of Assisi, where we used to do an NA meeting, had a lot to do with our beginnings, because you got to remember, it was a cultural clash and a cultural unification that brought CA to Houston and made it what it had became. Some of the earlier minds that you want to probably recognize is Ken Brown, right? Ken, Danny, Margot, you know, we used to meet over there on, what do you call that? What is that street?
Greenbrier?
Yeah, no, Greenbrier was Del Oro, but there was a meeting at this church, I think it was St. Anne's, I can't remember, but that's where I met Ken and Margot, and they had already began the groundwork, because Ken had became a delegate, and Ken, H. Lee, and some of the old guys some of them not around, they didn't make it or whatever, but there were important players, such as P. Clay Ballmer, Eric, me, you know, Ken, Marvel, Danny. Danny got, you know, life took him where it took him, and he got a hell of a business career. I've seen him years later, guys. It's phenomenal. He was like a diamond for that people that used to sell soap suds and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And the name of that place, that organization, whatever. But Danny's a hell of a guy. Me and him never really clicked or had a lot of relationship, because there was a lot of division, as usual, with anything.
Yeah.
But that's how growth occurs, you know what I mean? But anyhow, in 1985, when I came in, they had already had 1 year or so of CA kind of having meetings, not everywhere, but spattered around the city, 3 or 4 meetings. But we were having them 3, 4, 5 times a day, so we were claiming meetings that were really just one meeting, but we were claiming them as 9, 12 like everybody else do. But as we realized we needed to get organized, we decided to incorporate the area. I was the chair of the area service. The area service committee. They voted me as chair. I was a delegate in '86, and we incorporated it in '86.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We had our first area convention at University of Houston. Uh-huh. Right? They got a hotel school. And we did our first convention there. It was awesome, off the chain, unbelievable. You would not believe it.
Was that where Dr. Paul spoke?
No. That was the year I was convention chair the second year. It was my bright idea that I would get Paulo to come. But I got him to come. And, you guys struggle all the time with money or whatever, trying to make these conventions successful. As you know, I probably was the convention chair at least 6 times in the old days, because we knew it would work and we had to get it done. In fact, you were instrumental in maintaining the consistency we had at conventions, which raised super amounts of money.
Yes.
And the reason why we knew it would raise super amounts of money was because when I brought Paul over here, I knew if I brought Paul over, we would drag the A's in. The only problem was we forgot how much coffee was going to cost. And those AAs drank so much coffee that we basically broke even on that convention, because we had a coffee bill of about $6,000. But the thing about it was the enthusiasm. See, people keep forgetting, if you're not in this thing for the love of CA, you're in the wrong business. Right? This is not an ego-driven thing. Everybody wants to be in charge, and everybody, hates the leader. You know, well, all I ever was when I was the so-called leader was I was just the head sick. But everybody in here is sick, and I don't know why people get all twisted about it, but they do. You know, but anyhow, Texas, we should take a lot of pride in the fact that Texas is the reason why we actually own the name Cocaine Anonymous Worldwide right now, because we didn't own it. And Johnny and those guys called me and Ken and say, hey, man, there's a doctor out there, Jason Barron, that has the name, and can you guys get it from him? And I was like, Ron, we'll have it back to you within 6 months. And through some finagling and some things we're not going to discuss on this tape, we were able to secure the name Cocaine Anonymous from him. And, I mean, he gave it willingly. It's not like we had to twist his arm. He almost had to break his arm, but we didn't have to twist it. But bottom line, this guy was making money off it. You gotta remember, this is pre-managed care, when psychiatrists were making boatloads of money off the psychiatric community. Mm-hmm. And he had the foresight, you can't blame him, for knowing that Alcoholics Anonymous was taken, but he knew Narcotics Anonymous was taken. But because the cocaine epidemic didn't really start until the late 70s, he was just quick enough to own that name and open the clinic. So when people had a problem with cocaine, they would come to him, but he would treat them at the varying hospitals. But Dr. Timothy Sharma has more to do with the development of Cocaine Anonymous, making the rooms available to us to anybody. In fact, even Riverside Hospital, the black hospital, was more instrumental in developing and growing Cocaine Anonymous than anything else that I can imagine. Now, there's going to be different stories if you talk to different people. Discard them. One, they're not here to tell it. And then two, they didn't put into it what we put into it.
Exactly.
You know, Texas area is a direct result of the people who put the time, the effort, and took the heat, the battles. Because, let's face it, our community is 80% of the talk of Cocaine Anonymous. I say our community, I'm talking about the African American community. So it was a tough play for anybody to survive if you didn't have the skills to deal with us culturally. The good news, God put people in place, like yourself, Bobby, strong-willed, black women, strong-willed brothers. And we love Cocaine Anonymous so much that Cocaine Anonymous became the Texas area became the second leading area in Cocaine Anonymous worldwide in terms of population contribution and effect on this fellowship. Other areas such as Arizona, which is now booming, obviously, but they've always had a strong fellowship. There used to be a strong fellowship in New Mexico, up in Santa Fe, and Albuquerque. Denver was strong back in the day. Hey, Oklahoma, Tulsa with Chris was strong. He had Danny Falcone over there in
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and then Oklahoma City. I mean, these guys are rolling. In fact, Kansas was rolling back then too. Cocaine Anonymous was vibrant, right? and Houston, which was Texas Cocaine Anonymous, would be basically. Now, they didn't have a strong group down there in Austin back in the day, but they ate on each other and they faded out. They came back later when we brought Ivan, when you and I went down there and got Ivan and them on board. But they were strong over at the Faulkner Hospital, you know? But they started eating on each other and they just kind of disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to them. Mm-hmm. But the Texas area, the Houston area, it was the heyday of cocaine. You know, all of us came in between 80, I want to say 83, 84, 85, and 86 and 87. Mm-hmm. We grew exponentially to a point where we were a rip-roaring group.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there was activity, there was a lot of sobriety. In fact, you'll come to a Texas area now, and when you start giving out sobriety chips in terms of the countdown, you'll see so many people now with over 33, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 40 years sober, because as a group, we went everywhere together. We did everything together. I mean, we built this fellowship from the ground up, and then we split off. Because we do have those little battles culturally, which happens, you know, they had the Safe Harbor group with Danny and those guys ran off to, and we never heard of them again. But Bonnie Bray and the Free At Last Club came on board.
Exactly.
So you gotta understand, we were the first CA group that had that was a club in the nation, was the Free At Last Club.
Wow.
And then the Bonnie Bray came up with their club like months later. Right, which both of these clubs, while we never competed with one another, we supported each other. And see, that was the beauty of it.
Yeah.
You know, we supported each other, even though we had differences or we had dueling egos. Because, you know, there's always going to be, you know, okay. There's always going to be Eric. There's always going to be H. Lee Slade. And there's going to always be the guy that used to ride P. Clay. You know, while we were different and we used to have rip-roaring area meetings where, you know, we threw chairs. I mean, it was all kind of craziness, but we'd go break bread right after.
Exactly.
See, what people forget now is you can have an argument and you can disagree, but you have to agree to disagree and then have the love of CA paramount or above your disagreement, that you can then say, well, for the good of CA, we're going to get along. For the good of CA, we're going to drop my opinion, going to drop what I want and drop what you want and do what's best for the group as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, we believe, because a lot of us, like myself, is a former trustees. You know, I've served on every committee, I damn near wrote the doggone structure of Texas Area Service. But it was based on the concepts, principles and traditions of Cocaine Anonymous, and that was our saving grace, because we made sure we got on structures and bylaws when we went to the conference. We made sure we got on a convention committee, on a memorabilia, hospital, all the committees. So we you know, we served on every committee you could imagine, and we passed it on.
Mm-hmm.
See, what happened is people forget to rotate. People get to pass it on. But if you notice, they say it's the Hal K effect of Texas. Because if you notice, I was a little heavy-handed, so they say. But what I was purpose-driven.
Yeah.
And everybody that came behind me was the same way, although they probably said they were different from me. They weren't, because you had your crazy ass. Then we followed you up with crazy ass Bobby. You know what I mean? And if you're talking about people who are strong willed, because you can't be afraid of a strong will when you're trying to build a structure that requires a strong will.
Exactly.
As soon as you water down the will, you get what we have today, which is a dispersed cocaine anonymous. There's not even a meeting schedule. Nobody knows how to find a meeting. All right, I'm not complaining. I'm not bitching. I've got my hands off this thing. I'm not a bleeding dickhead. Like they said, I did my job. I did my purpose. In fact, when you and I met and you got under my wing and decided you wanted to be more instrumental in the development of CA, we took this thing on the road.
Yeah.
We brought on three other areas. People don't even realize that we've had our hand, Veronica, on the development of four areas. In
Texas.
We went down to the valley and got Allen and those guys, right? We got got Ivan guys on board, and their egos got big enough that they wanted to have their own thing. And well, I never had a problem with that. I had a problem them trying to control the Valley, but I never had a problem with them having their own thing. We developed Dallas. We even went out to Lubbock. Remember when we did
Abilene.
Abilene and Lubbock and out there, and we got meetings planted out there. Remember, we even got meetings planted in Mexico.
Yep.
So it's like, I've seen how this thing can go, but I also see how it can eat each other up.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing that's going now is the fact that we've had a world convention in Austin.
Uh-huh.
We've had two world conventions here in Houston. You see what I'm saying? There's going to be a world convention eventually in Dallas. In fact, they have a whole conference in Dallas now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I sit back in my little room and I say, well, what have you ever done for the CA? I go, well, Dallas hosts the conference. Let's see, Austin had the World Convention. Houston's at the World Convention twice in my lifetime. And I go, I don't know what I think I did. I know what the record reflects says. It says we built something. I say we, Cocaine Anonymous, not how Casey. People can get it convinced. I mean, get it confused that because leadership requires a certain amount of strength, that you're controlling. No. The people that love CA developed it, put it together, raised it, looked over it. And to this day, you guys still come to me, and people don't know, I've been still around behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Because just like Bill, you know, Bill wanted something done. He knew he couldn't go to conference and say it. He would, because people despised him because he was Bill. You know what I mean? And so I, learning from AA comes to age, you know, I realized that, you know, the best thing I can do is support you guys, right? From behind the scenes, not up front, because I had my time.
Yep.
You know, I did 20 years, you know, here in Houston, and developing this fellowship with you guys. And, you know, I'm real proud of the work we've done. You know, I'm real proud of the people I've seen come behind us. I don't see the duplication that we had before, but I do see people at least wanting to be the head sick. I see people just wanting to lead. They may not have the aspiration, the spiritual guidance. See, I was guided by God. People just don't understand. I'm a son of a preacher. I know how to get out of church. You see, Cocaine Anonymous is not a church, but it's a fellowship of men and women, which is a church. You see what I mean?
Gotcha.
And so if you're gonna pastor a church, if you're gonna be a deacon, right, you have to be led by the Spirit, not by ego. You see, one thing that Ken Brown, myself, H. Lee, we used to sit down and we used to break bread together and say, look, we need you guys to do this to help to support this group so we can build out the fellowship. And despite differences, we agree that we're about building out this fellowship. Now, the fellowship that's surviving, and I'm talking about the California's dying, let's talk about that. Cleveland, dead, dying. These were big fellowships when we started. Houston, alive, but we're on a respirator.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine Anonymous, the U.S., is on a respirator. Now, over in Europe, they're blowing the doors off because they got that enthusiasm, right? But they're going to run into the same thing we did when they realize if you don't get your ego in check, you see what I'm saying? You could lose this thing. And but I don't believe that's going to happen, only because we're not really a fellowship anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
We're a niche. We're AA, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're specialized. You know, we're the excitables, as Bill called us. You know what I mean? They're the ones that did drugs and alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Or we did drugs alcoholically. And we can remember that and stop trying to be unique.
Yeah.
And be a part of.
Yeah.
Dude, this thing will go on forever. I mean, I know I could literally, if I wasn't 1,000 years old now and I had some energy, I could get a big book and get a couple old timers and get a bunch of newcomers. See, the key is people stop fishing for the newcomers. When we had Free at Last, it was all about our community. We wanted something in the Third Ward, right? Because that's where our people came from. And we made it known that we're here for the community. And we did community outreach, mm-hmm. which people aren't doing no more. Mm-hmm. See, they expect people just to come through the door because you got a meeting started. That's not going to cut it. We started H&I back then. And ever since they locked my black ass up, and we started that first H&I meeting in Harris County Jail. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And then we started doing it. Because remember, you and I was on that H&I triumph where we were meeting with TDCJ and everybody else. Yep. So we got all those meetings in the prison. 26. And all those meetings, because the H&I committee, we knew that you don't have an area without H&I.
Right.
See, people, what they do, they lost. This is what I love about my boys out there in Arizona. I'm talking about Terry and them guys. Mm-hmm. They know the value of H&I.
Yeah.
Because H&I is how you build your fellowship. The problem today is we don't do H&I like we used to. We were in every treatment center. We were in every hospital. We were in every emergency room. We were putting posters up. Then boom, boom, boom. The H&I committee is what feeds the fellowship. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other committees are important. Don't get me wrong. Public information, yeah, that's part of H&I, because that's about getting out the word that we're here and we're free.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the model that we came up with. Uh-huh. But it's like H&I is what built the Texas area. H&I is what built Cocaine Anonymous. Because you can't go into AA and recruit. Mm-hmm. You see, you can't go into NA and recruit. Mm-hmm. So how are we going to get our special type? Well, we went to all the treatment centers. We went to all the jails. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I met with the panel from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice so yep. we can get the incarcerated so we can get them on the way out.
Exactly.
And next thing you know, we got people like Gilbert, known killer. You know, got about 28 years sober. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We started getting the badasses,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the badasses, if they can show that they can stay sober, what kind of traction they would be? And we put them people up front.
Mm-hmm.
See, people always think that maybe I had an ego, but they didn't know is no. It's not that I had an ego, even though there's a good chance I do. But that I knew how to put the right people up front.
Mm-hmm.
But that's from my biblical teaching.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the word of God tells me, I'm going to lift you up so I can draw other men toward him.
Yeah.
So we don't need to see Hal K so walk. Everybody knows I'm sober. They wouldn't believe that Gilbert sold.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't gonna believe, you know, the people that are hard heads are sober. Mm-hmm. So that when people see, like my boy Roderick Shaw,
mm-hmm.
Rod had been to jail 6 times in a row. Got out on a Friday, went back on a Sunday. Boy, when I met that boy, I said, boy, you gonna be the leader of the free Alaska. Right? And he was like, what? I said, oh yeah, you are. Because I know if he stays sober, he'll attract more people.
Mm-hmm.
See, I did my attraction. You know, the Hal K days are over. You got to bring some new blood in.
Exactly.
If you don't bring new blood in, guess what? Yeah. You're going to die. So H&I is the ticket. So as you all are getting there, stroking your egos in that area, meeting about, waiting about conventions, this, that, and the other, that's fine. But if you're not putting 80% in, and I said that word, 80% of your effort into H&I, in other words, in bringing in newcomers, you're going to die. Which makes Arizona what they are today, which is now going to be the headquarters,
true.
You know, for Cocaine Alarms, because California has died because they ate on themselves, just like we did here, and we dying too. But I'm telling you, take it from Big Papa. If you did what we always did, you'll get what we always got. But if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what y'all get, which is a splendid fellowship that nobody even knows exists. That you couldn't get off a plane in Houston and not know what Cocaine and all.
That's right.
We have meeting schedules, pamphlets, news articles. We got a public information committee. Remember, we were doing commercials, the free commercials you get from us because we were incorporated and a nonprofit organization. So we used to go to Channel 2 and them, and they would mention us. Where's the effort?
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not a bleeding deacon. I'm just sitting back observing. I'm not putting my hands back on it ever again. But no, my hands was on it. It was because of my love of God.
Yes.
And love of the Cocaine and Arms that we grew. to be one of the largest areas the Cocaine Anonymous has ever seen.
Yeah.
And we won't even talk about that first convention, World Convention, people. They still talking about it.
I know.
They still talking about it. You know what I mean? And there's people who aren't as active as they used to be because we all moved on in our lives. But we returned to our churches. We returned to our families. But, you know, Margo, Regina, Ava, you know, all these people, man, they were so instrumental, right? And believe you and me, we fought. We fought what you would not, like you would not believe. But we still never gave up on cocaine.
That's true.
And we never gave up on each other. What we had to do, just remind you that, you know, I'm somebody too. And when you somebody, and you stand for, we respect that. So we respected each other, even though we disagreed with each other. But the bottom line is, every convention you have, you'll see us, you know, every time we have the Texas Area Convention, you'll see me, JR, you'll see Ken Brown, and everybody go, ooh, there goes Hal, there goes Ken, there goes, because people remember, we were the shepherds, right?
Yeah.
And a shepherd takes care of his flocks. The greatest feeling I've ever had in my life, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to shut, I'm going to let this thing go, is when I do come to the convention. And people walk up to me and say, man, Hal, you saved my life. I said, what? Not me, God did it. They said, nah, you. They said, all the crazy shit you used to be doing, and people used to hate you and love you, but you always stood still. You were a beacon of light for us.
That's true.
And I'm talking about people who got 30, 40, I'm 35, 33, 30, 28, 20 years old. I said, man, Hal, dude, we knew one thing we knew. If you were around, CA was around.
That's right.
And if you were around, we were going to have a meeting. I can tell you this. Me and Darryl Williams is no longer with us. God rest his soul. I don't think anybody in this country, maybe you might be close to it, has started more meetings than us. I mean, Darryl Williams and I would start meetings and leave it. Go over here, go in another section, start a meeting, leave it. I mean, I went down to the valley. By the time I left, we had, 38 meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hosted a regional convention in the valley. You know what I mean? And it's not because of Hal. It's because of the valley. It's because of the group. You can put me up front, but I'm always going to put the group up front. You see? Because it's about the group. There's no me without them. There's a them without me, but there's no me without them. You see? So it's an honor when somebody give you a position of leadership that you treat it with dignity and respect. And don't forget about the people that put you there. See, people get these positions down, they get too full of themselves, and they forget to give back. The good news is I reached back. I brought you around, I brought Bobby, I brought everybody, Roy B, all the people that are instrumental in the development of this fellowship. I've always hung with you guys. I never put myself above you.
No.
You know, I'm with you. You know, we're in this together. Now I'm the fighter. I'm going to fight for you. I'm your fearless leader because that's what Harold stands for. That's the name. Sometimes you got to research your name.
Mm-hmm.
Harold's an old English name. It's leader, general. You know, I know who the hell I am. You know, I didn't know, but I found out through fellowship, right? Through this process of living. And now that I'm 70 years old and I'm in touch with my mortality, and I'm looking back and seeing what God had done for me. I can see now he used me. See, I thought I was doing something, but it was him doing something. He was just using me. But because he knew I had the tough skin that could take the hits.
Okay.
Because if you're going to be a leader, you got to be ready to be criticized. A lot of people ain't. They can't handle the criticism. If you can't handle the criticism, you can't lead. Because before you can lead, you have to follow. Then you become a servant leader. That means you serve the people. Not your ego.
Mm.
You know, so I don't know if it's benefited you at all. All I can tell you is Cocaine Anonymous means the world to me. People can still call me and ask me the integral questions, but I'm not coming back. You know what I mean? I'm going to stay on the sideline. I'm going to be like the book has taught me to be. You know, it's to be an advisor.
Right.
I can give you my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not going to be a bleeding deacon. So all you people doing the wrong, you're not. This is a new generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you all going to therapy and stuff now, but you're going to be going to meet them. My therapist told me that, hey, Jack, I don't even care what your therapist says, your steps say. But I do know that these are different people. Mm-hmm. You know, and as an elder statesman, I have to realize that when we came in, they thought we were crazy.
Uh-huh.
So if you think these young people are crazy, fine. But remember, there's more of them than there is of you.
No.
Right? And you need to get young people. Every time I come to these conventions, now I see all these old bastards running shit. But you, all of these young people have a fellowship because they got to carry it to the next generation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, when you die, the fellowship. And that's all I got for you.
Well, I got one last question for you, if you can answer it. What do you think would be, if you thought about it, picked out one of your fondest memories of being not just in CA, but being a part of what made CA and still can make it great?
Oh, it's always, my fondest memories will always be our convention. See, a convention should be a celebration of the hard work and labor that the service workers put in. Right? Members of the fellowship get to, they the Yahoo and blah, 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 blah. But to me, when we used to have the conventions, to see the people, like, remember Stan? And
yeah.
Remember, who's the t-shirt guy? I forget his name. But you know, me and him didn't get along, except for when the convention's there, I knew he was going to work his ass off.
Yeah.
And he knew I was going to work my ass off. And we looked forward to seeing each other.
And right? Mike Kinsella.
Yeah, Mike Kinsella. Yeah, so, but what I'm saying to you is the conventions was a coming together, all the groups, so you could see what God has done. You know, everybody always wants to get these good speakers from, you know, all over the country. And I'm like, why are we, as a fellowship as big as Texas, getting a speaker from outside of Texas?
Mm-hmm.
We got enough. We got, look, I know we got 300 people, 500 people with over 30 years old.
Yeah.
Pick one. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's like, I understand people send for me all around the world, so I'm not saying don't send for speakers, but you got people here that know this message, that have benefited from the message, the Texas message, and people need to hear. You know, my biggest experience, like you say, has always been the conventions, because it shows the you know, I did Big Book Study at the Free Alliance Club for 17 years straight, 200 people to get in. If you didn't run on time, you couldn't even share. You know what I mean? And to see all these people come.
Yeah.
You know, when we would have a convention and everybody know each other and everybody celebrating recovery, that's always going to move me the most. But basically, to tell you the real truth, what moves me the most is my grandbabies.
Wow.
And my daughter, because I got sober because of my daughter.
Yes, you did.
You know what I mean? She's right there with me all the way, right? So I had a purpose beyond the purpose of staying sober. And the reward was not that I stayed sober. The reward was I get to provide for this child who's now fully grown and trying to take care of me. You know what I mean? Is that I had a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
See, the book tells me real clear, this is just to get me sober. The real deal is when you return back to the mainstream in life and become something. Who would have thought that I'd be a retired Army psychologist?
No.
Huh? People want to know why Hal Caine was the way he was. Because I'm military man.
Yeah.
Get it done, son. We got no time for those little sniveling. See, but I'm, yeah, I was heavy-handed because I'm trying to save lives.
Exactly.
I ain't trying to save feelings. You know, they told me real early in the program, you can't save your face and ass at the same time. You know what I mean? It's about living.
Yeah.
You know, and surviving this deal. And so, you know, and the car rides. Remember me? We used to ride all over the state. Right? Quoting the Big Book. Trying to figure out how we going to show these people and solving their problems and helping them build their meetings. I mean, it's the little things, Ronica. I mean, the convention was the conglomeration of all of it, but it was really the footwork, man.
Yeah.
Just going into the meeting and saying, okay, man, we're going to start a CA meeting. this is how it goes. Rarely have we seen the person's face. You know what I mean? And telling people how you have to have a business meeting, this, that, and that, showing them the structure.
Yeah.
Right? And then to plant the seed and walk away and watch it grow. See, people used to think we didn't like Ivan and them guys. They don't know how much we sat back and raveled. Said, did we planted that seed and look at it grow?
Yeah.
Plant a seed down the valley, look at it grow. Plant it out in Dallas, look at it grow. Plant it out in Abilene, look at it grow. I didn't plant the seed and then try to control the seed.
No.
Plant the seed and get the hell out the way. You know, you can't, a plant don't need you to watch it grow. It's going to grow whether you stand there watching it or not. But you have to get away from it for you to see the growth. You can't see the growth from within.
Uh-uh.
See, people don't understand. Sometimes you need to back off so you can see the growth. You know, when I see people like, you know, my boy Terry became a trustee, you know, the trustees that we built out of here.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I mean, damn, this is the deal, you know? So bottom line is, it's still always going to be about God,
okay.
You know? If you're not going to be able to handle it being about God, you're not going to be able to handle staying so.
True.
Because you will suddenly realize that God was doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself.
Can't do.
And then when you realize it, what's the thing?
Exactly.
All right, I
gotta
go.
Thank you so much, Hal. And we will end this right now. But thank you so much for being our guest and giving us your experience, strength, and hope on how Cocaine Anonymous became Texas Cocaine Anonymous.
That's it.